You're listening to the Business Networking Show with Linda Cloak, John Turner, and Jill Russell. At Absolute Protection Group, we specialise in domestic, commercial, and industrial electrical, fire, and security systems, ensuring the highest quality of service and safety for all your needs. Let us be your trusted partner. Contact us today for a consultation, as if you want protection, you want Absolute Protection. Go to absolute-group.co.uk or call 01622 437838.
Do you need a reliable property management service or lettings agent? PJJS is a well-established property management and residential lettings company in Maidstone, Kent, which deliver an effective and efficient quality service. Call us now on +44 78 55 746 966.
Right, here we are. It's Linda Cloak here from Synergy Networking Events, and my guests today are Kathy Heyman. Good morning.
Hello.
Right, good afternoon.
I think it is afternoon
now. Ryan Briggs.
Good afternoon.
And Tracy King.
Good afternoon.
And do you recognise a theme, listeners? They're all well-being people.
We are.
So we're going to be going into a little bit of history for everybody, and obviously I'll be letting you know what events we've got coming up, and I'll get the folks here to share any events that they know about, because I know there's a few others going on. But Kathy, we're going to actually start with you. As you volunteered, you stuck your hand up, didn't you? Very quietly.
I don't think I did, actually.
So tell us a little bit about you, what, you know, your life, where you, how you ended up where you are.
Well, I think I'm probably the oldest one here. So how long have you got?
No, I think I'm the oldest one here. We're the same age, probably.
Probably.
But yeah. But okay, just where your sort of journey, I suppose, you know, started taking you down the route where you are now.
Okay. So I started my working life working for Citibank back in my 20s. I was very fortunate, got to travel all over the world in that job. And then when I was 28, I thought, I don't really want to do this anymore. I'm going to start my own business. And I just did. Stupid idea, really, when I look back, except that it worked. So set up an event management business that ran for 17 years, and then 9/11 happened.
What type of event management?
So we did corporate events. So it was conferences, and okay. Our clients were banks and insurance companies, people okay. like that all over the world. Mm-hmm. So 9/11 happened and everybody stopped travelling, and we didn't have Zoom and stuff like that back then. Mm-hmm. And at the time, so during that time, I had met the guy that I married. He came into the business, and then we were going through a divorce. So it was kind of, let's just let that all go. And I started a consultancy business and did sales and processing kind of consultancy for different companies. One of the companies I got involved in was overseas property, and the mortgage market fell out. So that was the end of that one. So I've been quite good at reinventing myself when I've had to. At that time, I had a bit of a personal meltdown. I call it my runaway train hitting a brick wall moment. And through a convoluted series of events, I met a lady who was a coach, and I started coaching with her, and that changed everything for me. And a few years later, I thought, you know what, I'd like to do that. So I went and trained to be a mindset coach, and I did NLP. So I'm also an NLP practitioner. Loved all of that. Started coaching. Loads of things go on. I won't bore you with all the details, but COVID came and whatever. Met another coach, and we started to work together. And we decided that we wanted to create an app. So we were working with a company that said, yep, we can do this for you, because we quickly realised we couldn't do it ourselves. And over the course of the next year, we were working on this app. And to cut a long story short, 2 years ago, almost to the day, we found out that they hadn't built us what they said they were.
Oh, God.
And they'd closed their business and moved to the States.
Oh.
And we lost everything, basically, and it cost a lot of money.
So we've had a very similar journey, haven't we? That's amazing, because that's what happened, well, sort of.
Similar sort of thing. So then you're like, now what are we going to do? And with the help of the lovely Zoe Cairns, who I'm sure a lot of you know, always give a shout out to Zoe, she helped us to start what we'd thought we were creating in a different way. And a little while after that, Amanda decided that she didn't want to stay in the business, so kind of re-looked at everything. And it was a year ago in January that we decided, I was working with a lady called Susie Warren-Smith, don't know if you've met her. She's a force to be reckoned with and a great business mentor. And we created what we've now got. So my passion is in helping people to be the best they can be. But I'm also passionate about small businesses because I know how hard it is.
So tell me what your business model is now.
So it's a model to support business owners, small business owners, and their staff. So we do that via a membership. It's an annual or a monthly membership. There are different things, different levels available. It's priced on a size of your business. And one of the things that we discovered in our research was that there is a legal requirement for all employers, even if you employ only one person, to have in place a workplace stress risk assessment. And 75% of small businesses in the UK don't have it.
No, they probably don't even know about it.
So most of them don't know. And if they do know, they haven't got a clue where to start.
Mm.
So for us, it's about we're ticking a legal box. But of course, it's more than that because the well-being side of it and helping people to be resilient and strong and have a good mindset, it's about having those tools in place. So we have an online portal that's got all sorts of things in it, videos and PDFs and lots of stuff. Just started our own podcast, and there's a section for the owners, so looking after the business owner, and then there's a section for their teams, which is kind of looking after people with their mindset and how do you deal with stress and anxiety and all of that kind of thing. We offer a directory of professional support, so that's one-to-one coaching, counselling, therapists of all different types, and also access to soft skills training. So those things in a business that can cause problems that create a lot of stress. So people being put into a, like, you're good at your job, you can be a manager, but not giving them any support or training. So we do leadership, management, communication, sales, whole sort of different things.
So how long did it take you to get all this put together? It sounds like the resource is huge.
It's been a year. Yeah, more than a year. Last January that we thought, okay, this is what we want to do. And building the whole website piece of it. I've got two guys that come on board with me who are absolutely brilliant. They've built all of that side. We've put all the resources together. We've built the directory of people. So it's been a task, but we're now live and ready to get out there.
So what size of business are you actually looking mainly for? Someone with one or two employees, like the smaller type?
Small and medium size, really. So yeah. Any business that's got, we do have a solopreneur option, so you don't have to employ people, but we're really aiming it at the businesses that can, you know, that have got staff that need this kind of support. And don't get me wrong, if a big business came and said, can we have a conversation? I'm not going to turn them down. But our target market is the SME market, really.
And can I ask what the monthly fee starts at? Where is the membership and the monthly fee? Or
so the solopreneur option is £19 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes up to, depending on the size of the business, on the sort of starting package, goes up to 25, 49, 125, 175. So it goes up in increments depending on the size of the business.
And so, what types of people do you work with? I mean, do you work with people like Tracy or do you work with people?
So I personally work with Tracy. And when it comes to her turn, I'm going to give her a big shout out.
Oh.
She's made a big difference to me. We're really looking for people, in terms of the providers that we've got, people that can do their stuff online, because, you know, we hope this to go across the UK. So to do it online, which obviously precludes Tracy because she's very hands-on, but that doesn't mean we wouldn't. So for me, if I've got a business that says, you know, we've got somebody who's permanently off sick because they got backache, I would say to him, you need to go and talk to Tracy. So it's knowing those kind of people. But we're also, in terms of getting to the clients, we're talking to HR consultants, management consultants. So the type of people that have our target market as their business, to be able to give them that extra thing to add to their clients.
And would you sort of think about taking on councils and things like that? Because, I mean, I worked in the KCC for years, and the amount of people I saw in the corridor, I used to have a bad back and,
and
they stood in the corridor all day. I'm not surprised, really.
Yeah. And where it used to be bad backs or why people were off work, it's now stress.
Yes, yeah, of course.
And the numbers around that are, you know, are shocking, really. So I know Ryan's going to talk a bit about this when it gets to his turn, but we're working with Mind, who've just done a survey with Dr. Ant Webb on stress in small businesses, and the figures are quite shocking, you know, the stats that have come back. So looking to set up an initiative with Mind to support small businesses through them. And we're getting involved in that. So that's really exciting.
Well, Dr. Ant's supporting, he's talking more from a solopreneur perspective. Is he really? Oh, that's the impression I got when he did his speech.
Small businesses.
Yeah, because of what he went through. And most of us, we come to these conclusions because of what we go through.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the stats that's just come back from that survey is 30% of small business owners in Kent are very close to closing down because of the stress that they're under in all sorts of different ways. You imagine if 30% of those businesses in Kent closed down, what an impact that would have on everybody.
Well, I spoke to someone this morning and they said to me that they need to speak to their accountant. And the reason they do is because they didn't realise how many taxes they've got. They're paying PAYE, they're paying corporation, they're having to pay their own. And it was like, well, yeah, but you don't know that when you go limited. Mm. Because when he was sole trader, he said it was easy, you just put it into three. And he knew that he could only touch one third.
Yeah.
But now it's limited. It sort of confused him a bit. Yeah, and it's like, where's all this? Yeah. And why am I paying out all this money to the HMRC all the time?
Yeah.
So that's just, you know, one of the changes, isn't it? And that's more down your line, isn't it, Ryan, really?
Well, the other thing they said was that 92% feel that they're not supported by the UK government, which doesn't come as a surprise to most of us that have been in business for a while. But actually, that's shocking. So it's now about how can we provide the support to small business owners in a way that's accessible to them.
But, I've never expected support from the UK government, to be honest. When I started my businesses, it was all about supporting me and my family, really. I never really thought that I'd ever get any support from them.
No, but I mean in terms of even an understanding of what it's like to be a small business owner. You don't even feel like they have an understanding of that, really.
No, I don't think from their backgrounds and things, I can't imagine they would ever have.
No, the things that, you know, as an entrepreneur, we have a different mindset to employed people. Mm. I don't know about you, Linda, but I don't think I'm employable.
No.
I wanted to go and get a job. I don't think anybody would give me one. It's been too long that I've worked for myself. And we do have a different mindset and a different priorities, different ways of looking at things. And there is no real support.
It was funny, actually, because even when I was in the job market, I worked for a big delivery company that delivered parcels and things. And I remember they had me as the salesperson going from Sussex across to Ramsgate, then back to Hastings. And then I was going all over the shop and I was like, what on earth is going in here? And then I've been working for them for 9 months and then they sent me on a training course.
Proving my point.
that was quite stressful. But I just remember thinking, oh, if this was my business, I'd be doing it like this. And I thought, why am I thinking that at the age of like 22 or wherever old? I wasn't very old. But yeah, that is definitely the way you think. Mm. So how are you going out and getting your members? What's your plan?
Network like crazy.
So tell me some of the network. I mean, obviously, I know you come to Synergy.
I come to Synergy. I do small Simply Business Club.
Yeah.
I do Ash Lawrence's ABC.
Yeah.
I do the Ashford Business Club. I was doing Breakthrough Women. They've kind of stopped what they were doing. I think that's going to come back in a different guise. And anything else that comes my way that I think, oh, you know, I'll give that a go. At this stage, because we're building, I'm having to balance networking, having one-to-ones, because to me there's no point networking if you then don't connect with the people you're networking with, and doing the work to build the business and getting out and talking to people. So
funny you say about one-to-ones, because I don't know if any of you are aware, probably not, but we're starting online when we're going to start doing it from the second Thursday in May, and that is going to be me sort of giving a brief education when they first come online, and then it's going to just be one-to-ones.
Nice.
So it will be probably 10 minutes each person, you know, so you'll have three one-to-ones in that time frame. Mm. So it's making sure the members are getting those one-to-ones in a small space of time. So you're not sitting there, you're not having to travel somewhere, have a coffee, you know, and it's succinct.
Yeah,
so
like that idea. Good.
Yeah, so that's what it's going to be. Mm. And that starts second week in May. And the reason is because I've had a couple of people that are going abroad. Someone's gone to Australia and someone's gone to Saudi, and they're members, and they're like, can you put my membership on hold? It's a shame you don't do online, because if you did, I was like, right, okay. And we did do it right at the start as a free resource for members. But because we had so few members, we didn't have loads on there. But now we've got 180 members. It's
nice.
It's a nice addition, isn't it, for members?
Yeah.
So that's going to be the second Thursday every month from 12:30 to 2:30. So I thought then if there's mums on there, they can dash off, can't they, wherever.
Yeah. Nice to have both, isn't it, to have online and in person, just to have the mixture. Mm.
I think so. I mean, I'll charge people who are not members, and the reason I will is because it's a member benefit, so it will only be £10 if they're not. But the idea isn't really to get new members, it's to show members that this is a free, another free resource
for them. I've never been a great lover of online networking, but I think that structure could work really well.
Mm, as far as I know, no one else is doing it. So they tend to do breakout rooms of a certain number of people. And when we did, it was quite funny because I was getting used to all the announcements. I don't know if you've done online, but I was getting used to how to use it, and everyone could hear what I was saying when they were all in their rooms. So I was actually broadcasting.
That could be dangerous.
I know. Someone sent me a text saying, "Linda, will you be quiet, please?"
Never knew you felt that way about me.
No. Oh, dear. So tell me a little bit. I want to go back to NLP. Are you using any of these skills, mindset, NLP? Are you using that, or are you mainly using other people to help the people who are coming in for the membership?
So I'm very happy to still coach. I love coaching. So I feature in our directory if anybody needs mindset or NLP coaching. So
Kathy's also my business coach.
Okay.
Yeah.
So business coaching comes into it as well.
So I don't call myself a business coach. I wouldn't advertise myself as that. But for me, I've got a lot of experience, and I know a little bit about a lot of things. So it's kind of the coaching is about mindset, building in the, you know, so I coached someone recently who'd never networked and was scared, like, so help them with how does networking work? How do I figure out where I go? The practicalities of that, but the mindset of how you do it and how you communicate so you get the best out of it. Because if you've never done it, you haven't got a clue, have you?
No, that's
people
true.
Don't realise. I think they just rock up and have a chat and that's it. But there's actually an art to networking well, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I said on a show earlier that when I first started networking, I used to walk up to people and say, "Hi, you're single." And they always turned their back when they saw me. You could see them going, "Here she comes.
It's that woman again."
But I didn't realise that was like going up and saying, "Hello, have you got a website? If you haven't, you need one." You know, it was exactly the same. But because I'd never been networking, I didn't know what it was. And I just sort of thought that's what it was.
Yeah. And it's a slow burn. It's about building relationships, isn't it? It's not about getting in there and going, "This is what I do, have my business card." Nobody likes that.
But you do still see people doing it. And someone said that there was a few people in King's Hill doing it the other day. Did you notice that?
No,
I didn't.
Really?
No.
Mm.
It's what gives it a bad name, really, isn't it?
We don't want that, do you? And that's why, I mean, I did stand up and do my schoolman bit at the beginning. But
some
people don't listen to me. I know. So I was going to ask another question, then it's completely vanished from my head. So tell me what your plans are for the future. How many members are you looking to get?
Global domination.
A bit like us then.
Way to go.
I mean, not global, but we're starting really locally, although my accountant's based in Birmingham area.
Oh.
So, and he's fully behind what I'm doing. So I've been up and done podcasts with him, and we're looking at what we can do there. And I've got some of our providers are based in that neck of the woods, so that would be fine. But I'd be really happy for this to become a global thing, and for, you know, councils and HR consultants and people to take this on board and run with it, you know, with their own clients. And for me, it's all about collaborating as well. So Ryan and I are going to be collaborating, sharing what we do to our own clients. And I've got a similar thing with Nick Inge, who does iTrust.
Yes, with Nick Inge.
Yeah, so collaborations with people that, you know, we've got a similar client base, we can help each other. And, you know, I'm all for that.
Yeah, someone came to the event last night and said that Nick Inge was the one that sort of got him to come along.
Yeah, so Nick's been really supportive for me over the last year.
He has for us. I mean, he sponsored the frame that we use. Yeah. And I stick in front of people and say, "Let me take your picture." Sure, So that works really well. So are you planning, because I've got a little bit of a plan to step back. So as we are a similar age, have you got a plan to step back, or do you want to No, look at that face. You want to keep going forever?
Don't be silly. I think I'd die if I stopped.
I'm not saying stop. I'm saying step back, because I really fancy the idea of like going travelling and
yeah.
I like the idea of, you know,
yeah.
being away from work a lot more.
So I guess my dream would be to build this probably over the next 5 years into something that runs itself. So I'd still have it and I'd still be involved as much or as little as I want to be, but it's established and it runs itself. So then you've got the choice. I can't imagine stopping coaching because I love that. And I can't imagine not having an interest in something. But yes, it would be nice to go, oh, I'm going to, you know, I mean, world events, not getting in the way, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to do what you want when you want kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So yes, of course. But I was, are you familiar with Louise Hay?
No.
So Louise Hay, she wrote the book, is it? I can heal myself or I can heal my life, which became, she published it herself many, many years ago. And she was, I think, 58 when she wrote the book and 63 when she started Hay House Publishing, which is the largest publishing house in the world for self-development and spiritual stuff and all of that. She died when she was 93, I want to say. And she says her life up until her 60s was tough. And her life absolutely took off, and it was the best thing ever, the last 30 years of her life.
Wow.
So that's going to be me.
Oh, there's hope for us yet then.
Absolutely.
Yay!
And I had a neighbour in our previous house who lived to be 101 and a half.
Wow.
She was amazing, so fit and healthy right to the end, always looked amazing. When she was 99, she was at a barn dance in her red cowboy boots and hat doing line dancing. She was amazing. And I say to my kids, I'm going to be Jean.
Yes.
So I'm just warning you, I'm not going anywhere.
No, I want to be Jean as well.
Yeah.
I want to be Jean.
Yeah.
Not be Jean? You can do, the thing is with the way the world is now, though, you can do the sort of work we do anywhere. Can't you? So it's nice. You don't have to give up or do it for as long as you can.
And for me, that's about building the network that I'm building. So my team of professional support, the trainers, collaborations, all of that, so that it does get to a point where it runs itself. You know, and that's my dream, I suppose, really. Yeah.
That's going to be amazing.
Get your cowboy boots on. Love it.
Yeah.
Your red cowboy boots on.
The good thing I think about, there isn't so much ageism now, is there? I mean, a lot of people, I don't think, there's not the boundaries there were. It's not you can't wear this or you can't wear that when you're a certain age. You just wear
what
you
like. Once you get to 60, you've got to stop. Like, you know, and I've got friends that have always worked in a job and they think I'm mad. They couldn't wait to get to 60 and retire. Like, I can't imagine anything worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be retired yet. I'm really enjoying the journey.
Yeah,
I definitely.
Yeah,
am.
Absolutely.
And I'm enjoying seeing it grow and learning from the different situations that I'm being put in.
And if you love what you do, it doesn't feel like work anyway.
No,
so exactly. I'd quite like to have a little bit less on my to-do list right now, but it won't always be like this.
And have you got grandchildren?
So I've got two children. My partner's got two children and his eldest daughter had a baby 5 months ago.
Ah.
She's absolutely adorable.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they take up quite a lot of my time.
Your grandchildren.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Which is lovely. Yeah. Brilliant. Yes. Okay. How can people get hold of you, Kathy, to find out more about this?
So the website is bettermindsbetterbusiness.co.uk. That's the best place to go and find out what we do. And you can reach me through our contact page on there. Or email me at Kathy@bettermindsbetterbusiness.co.uk.
Okay, well, please interject whenever you want to. We're going to come to you now, Ryan.
Okay.
So tell us all about the 16th first. So the 16th is next Thursday and it's for Mid Kent Mind.
Yes, so the 16th, next Thursday at the Village Hotel is an event. Kathy mentioned Dr. Ant Webb and some other speakers as well, really exploring how local business owners, entrepreneurs can help themselves, help their businesses, and also introduce the research that Kathy mentioned that was published and shared, and explain quite an exciting project that Mid Kent Mind with Dr. Ant Webb are doing collaboratively to help local businesses and business owners. So that should be quite exciting, really.
And how do they choose their speakers?
I haven't got a clue. I only got involved with it 10 days ago, I think it was. Yeah, I was introduced to Dr. Ant Webb via Mid Kent Mind, because I obviously know the team there really well. And then I think, like Kathy, went and met him on his houseboat, and things move fast. But yeah, so looking like a really good event to go to. So
I should be there too.
Yeah, quite a few of the Synergy members now obviously going along. So
well, I would be there if I wasn't already committed to having Millie for the whole day.
Yes.
Take her with you.
Bring her along, yeah.
Should it be very disruptive.
No, so it should be a good one.
Yeah, I mean, I know some of the speakers that are up there, and there's quite a few, isn't there? It's about 7-8 speakers.
I think 8 speakers, yeah. Yeah, I think 8. So it's from 10 o'clock till 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
So quite a long day.
Is there lunch?
Yeah, lunch can be included. A light lunch, I think it is, not like proper sit down or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Obviously a networking opportunity as well. But yeah, it should be a good one. I'm really excited to see specifically the project that you know, Mid Kent Mind are getting involved with. To look at helping business owners, because it can be quite a lonely world, you know, for solopreneurs and entrepreneurs and business owners. So the support that might be available will be coming very timely, I think.
Mm, yeah, I agree. Okay, great. Well, if anyone wants to go to the Village Hotel on the 16th, then I think there's a link. Where's the link for them to be able to book?
Go on to, it's Be Your Brand, isn't it?
Yes.
.co.uk, I think it might be. You can go onto that, or the Synergy website, we might get it put up on there as well. But yeah, just tickets available still.
I can certainly put it up on the Synergy website. Yeah. No problem. Okay, that's fine. Go on then, tell us about your little journey.
About me, my
journey. Yeah, because it's been, obviously I've seen it.
We've known each other a while, yeah.
Yeah, seen it happen. So.
Yeah, my journey started with professional football. So way back when, that was all I wanted to do. You know, that was my dream. 6 years old, you know, kicking a ball about, and was lucky enough to join West Ham at the age of 9, I think I was. And then went right the way through their academy system, getting kept on every year, you know, to the age of 14, left school. 16 was a YTS, and then was lucky enough to become a professional at the age of 18. So that was all fantastic, absolutely brilliant, a dream realised, if you will, but didn't last too long, unfortunately. You know, it's a very competitive world, and injuries and other things that get in the way. So that didn't really work out how I thought it would. Went on to play semi-professional football, which I absolutely loved as well. But I suppose that was the starting point, that I had some experience with others that did go on to do really well and played, you know, top flight and earned great money, but realised that earning a lot of money or having a lot of money didn't always equal financial well-being or happiness. So that was a kind of a seed that was planted in me. Then moved on to do various other things, got into financial services, and was invited into a company about 12, 13 years ago now, once I'd done all my qualifications, to put some training together for their employees. They was a company, they had about 1,000 employees across the country, and it was part of their wellbeing week that they was having at the time.
Hopefully, so why did they ask you? Was it part of...
It was one of the senior directors I knew was a personal friend. Mm-hmm. So they was having all sorts of people come in, you know, to stop smoking and to get physically fit and some mindfulness work, and as part of that they wanted me to put some training together to look at pretty much what they didn't learn at school when it comes to money. And that's one of the major reasons I think that we've established our business and been, you know, successful to a point so far in the last 4 years, that most of us didn't learn the basics around money at school. Mm-hmm. You know, we learn lots of other things, some maybe more useful than others.
Algebra.
Yeah, you know, all sorts of things. And I think it's, there is some light at the end of the tunnel. It is now being put onto the curriculum for the schools. We were part of that government push, actually. So from the end of 2027, it will be on the curriculum. But that leaves a whole host of people that have got into work and in their careers that didn't learn basic money skills and haven't built that knowledge and understanding and confidence. Mm. So that's what I did sort of 12, 13 years ago. Realised I loved it, realised that I enjoyed that aspect of it, you know, helping train people and educate people maybe rather than the advice side. and sort of selling products. And,
so what about writing the course? Did you, because obviously you had to put the content in, you had to put it all together, a bit like yeah. Heather's had to do. How did you find?
I loved that part of it as well. I think okay. that creative, I hadn't really done that before. And I think something appealed, you know, really appealed to me to create something from nothing, put my own spin on it. And that was a vital part of it. I think even just having the right content isn't enough. It needs to be delivered in a way that people will understand, that's jargon free, you know, that people can pick up, not feel judged, and can action something as well. You know, all the theories, great, but if they don't come away with practical hints and tips and things that they can put in place into their life that will actually have an impact pretty soon, you know, they need to see something change pretty soon to, you know, to have the motivation to keep going and do more and more, really. So that happened years and years ago. This was way before COVID and you know, the pandemic. And we just realised that, A, there was a need for that, for the basics, you know, all the steps maybe before financial advice, and that companies had an appetite to offer that sort of support as well. They didn't want to pay for it then, I'll be honest. I sort of had it as an opportunity to be in front of potential clients. But as things have moved on, then we had, yeah, the COVID and, you know, cost of living crisis has been another major factor. But I think combining the fact that it's very challenging for people at the moment with regards to money, the increased awareness around mental health and looking after staff has increased, those two things together and the fact that we didn't learn these basic money skills at school has kind of been the perfect storm, really, for a training company like ours to offer what we do.
Mm. And I think that with the training that you offer, I think the thing is that with COVID and all those other things that came into play, people now are so much more aware. I mean, I know that Elle went on a mental health training course, and what they were doing in BNI was they were having, you know, they were doing it so there was people within each chapter that had that training, mm-hmm. which is, you know, they're even thinking about their businesses within a networking organisation, which is fantastic. But then yeah. you actually offer Synergy members a free training
yeah.
That you provide, don't you?
We do, and it's quite similar to the mental health training, but financial health. So there's been some great work that's been done in the last 10 years, I think, around mental health. I think it massively increased with COVID. Mm. You know, there's a lot of online training that started so it could reach a lot more people. But, yeah, maybe the companies and people are understanding the root causes of some of that mental health struggle and stress and pressures and anxieties is, unfortunately, a lot of the time, money-related. Money has such a huge impact on our lives, you know, for positive or negative reasons throughout our life as well at different stages. So, yeah, the free training that we offer is similar to mental health sort of awareness, but financial health awareness. So it's for key people within businesses that need to know a bit more about this, need to know, well, what are the issues? Why should it be, you know, high up their to-do list? Why should they take it seriously? And also the positive impact, you know, this can have if it is looked at, if it is considered, if training is given to employees, what impact that can have on them personally, but also on the business itself. I'm a big believer that if we work in businesses, we have the moral obligation to do the right thing.
Yeah.
But as importantly, if not more, is the commercial reasons. It is a business at the end of the day, so it needs to make commercial sense. So if any of this training or this intervention can have a positive impact on the bottom line, which we've now got research and have looked at the data and it does, that drives a lot of this. And I think you saw that with mental health training over the last 10 years. You're starting to see it now with financial health, and companies realise it's not just a nice to have. It does hit the bottom line and is the right thing to do as well.
It's funny, actually, because way back when, all of you know that I ran a dating agency for years, and I approached businesses and said to them, look, if you've got people in your business that are getting divorced, then, you know, get them to come along, because the structure of my events now is all based on the structure that I did when I was doing dating events. And I said to them, you know, just get anyone that you've got going through divorce coming along to this event. It will help them with their confidence, and it will help them, you know, with their work ethic and everything, because they're going to be happier, and happier staff mean more productive staff.
Absolutely.
And I think I was saying that, gosh, probably 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, what? Yeah. What are you talking about? We don't want any of that. So I think the thing is that there was lots of bad things obviously happened with COVID, but what it's done, it's opened a lot of people's eyes.
Yeah.
That they need to see the people, you know, in their team, what they're going through, and be there and be supportive, because in the end it's in their interest to do so, isn't it?
It really is.
The thing is we're whole people. We're not just a person at work and a person outside of work. Everything we do impacts on the other side. So if we look after all of us, then that has to have a positive impact on a business.
Mm. Yeah, you're seeing a big shift as well culturally with, you know, next gen and Gen Z, that it isn't this leave it at the door mentality anymore.
No.
You know, it is your whole, you know, you bring your whole self to work, and it's encouraging to see employers almost encouraging that, you know, they want you to feel safe, psychologically safety and physical safety, mental safety as well. Again, mainly because they realise they're going to get more out of you. They're going to have better, you know, production, performance, healthier, happy people. You know, it just makes sense commercially as well. So
it wasn't the case though, was it?
No, taken a long while. And look, don't get me wrong, not all companies are like that. They're still, you know, traditional companies that have their own set ways, and that's absolutely fine. But you are seeing more and more companies coming around to the idea of just common sense, really. Look after your people, and hopefully that will look after the business as well.
And the types of companies that are going for it, are they more the corporate, bigger companies?
Yeah, I think sort of in contrast to Kathy, we the first company we started working with was a company called Hayes Recruitment. I've heard of Hayes. Weirdly, I used to work with them as I finished football. So they're quite a big company, you know, 4,000 employees. And it carried on from that we then started to work with other quite large organisations, Sky and councils, and then police forces. So public sector as well as private. So we do work with some quite large organisations. But you know what? It wasn't the whole company that we work with. We normally would do a pilot with a division or a department, and then try to expand the services that we offered until we was working with the whole organisation. But a big passion of mine is to find the right solution for the SME market as well, because we know, you know, 60%+ of the whole economy is based with smaller businesses. They need it just as much, if not more, you know, and we've just got to try and work out the right ways of offering it. There is definitely a different way to do it for SMEs than the bigger corporates. But trying to do that with the likes of Cafe and other partners and collaborators to make sure that it's seen as a real value add and get it into as many companies as we can, really.
Mm. Well, I'm certainly promoting the free training that you're giving. That last night at Medway, when I was talking about the benefits that membership offers, that was one of the main benefits that I was saying, you know, go in there, send a member of staff, you know, see what you think about it, and then come back and let me know. And
yeah, so it's I think it's one that you need to experience before you can really understand it.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot of myths. There's a lot of challenges that we faced over the last 4 years of, well, is it going to open it? Very similar to mental health. Is it going to open a can of worms? Yeah. Is it our responsibility? Going back to what we were just talking about, you know, people used to think, well, no, what you do in your private life is your own, you know, we don't bring it to work. But if it's going to impact your work day and your performance, you have to take it into account. But yeah, going back to the point of trying to experience what we do is really important to us, because until you have done that, you really won't have a good idea of it. So we try and remove all the barriers, you know, make it as cost effective, if not free, to start with, test it and taste it and experience it. And then we start to build with companies and grow the training and support that we can offer them over time, really become a kind of valued partner of theirs.
And when is your next online course?
Well, we've actually got a big month. This month we thought, well, let's go big. Let's have an awareness campaign for the whole month of April.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in our third year now, but we created Financial Wellbeing Month, which is April. It's also Stress Awareness Month. So we picked it intentionally to coincide with that. And we use the month of April for two reasons. One, to try and link the or to demonstrate the links between financial well-being, mental health and suicide prevention, because for us, we're really passionate about all three areas. We believe they are completely intrinsically linked. So trying to demonstrate how companies can try and have a positive impact at their workplaces on all three areas. So we do that in April, and we also use it as a showcase of our training. So we offer a lot of free training for employees and leadership teams, covering a whole range of different topics and themes. This year we're looking at a lot of training for apprentices and the next generation, so the you know, younger demographic. We've also got some training around the links between money, mental health and neurodiversity, which we're seeing a huge amount, a massive increase. We've got training around money and and menopause and women's health, which is huge. So, yeah, there's lots of different things that might be suitable for different groups of workforces that might be useful to companies. And that's for all sized organisations, you know, whether they're national companies or small SMEs, they're all invited to get involved and, you know, share it with their teams.
And how do you, how does someone, you know, find which one is, or see what's available? Where would they find that on your website?
Yeah, so it would probably be the person at the company that might be the HR manager or the training manager or the wellbeing lead if they've got one. So they would just need to go to financialwellbeingmonth.com. Mm-hmm. And on there they can sign up completely for free. And that will then take them through to a landing page where absolutely everything's there. So they can scroll down and see all the different dates, all the different events. They'll also get an email from our team with a nice one-page PDF with all the links so they can share that with all their employees and let them sign up to what they want to sign up to, what they think's relevant to them, I suppose. It's give them all the options and make it as inclusive as possible.
And you're really big on LinkedIn, but how are you marketing yourself? I mean, Kathy was saying she mainly does it by going to loads of different networking groups. What, I know you come to us. Do you go to any others?
Only yours, Linda, only yours, obviously.
Oh, see, I love him. Well, that's why I invited him on here.
That's it. You shout at me otherwise. No, I don't. No, a mixture, I think. I think you have to have you have to look at all angles, right? Because you just don't know where someone's going to hear about you or you're going to meet someone. So LinkedIn has been a huge, that's how we've built our business. Mm-hmm. So I think it was in COVID that I'd always used LinkedIn an awful lot, but it was in COVID where I was completely restricted. You know, we couldn't go out, we couldn't meet people and build relationships. We had to use things like LinkedIn and Zoom were my two saviours, really. No one thought that Zoom thing was going to take off, it has. And I started just to work out a few ways of using LinkedIn effectively just to connect with the right people. You'd not necessarily be too salesy or to pitch what you're doing all the time, just to connect, build relationships, take it offline as quick as you can, you know, to try and actually meet that person or have a human conversation, and then just explain what you do and how you can help people. But along with the online networking, you know, we met through in-person networking, through local community networking. So I've always been a big advocate of that. Kathy mentioned about collaboration and partnerships. I think you can leverage relationships through other people, and you know, people are normally like-minded. If you get on, you'll normally get on with people that they know as well. But it's definitely a mixture of things. You know, biggest thing I've learned is you just got to put yourself out there. You know, you need to put yourself in the race or buy a lottery ticket before you're going to win it. That kind of analogy.
I'm a lot better at LinkedIn than I used to be.
Yeah, well, it takes time, doesn't it? Yeah, you know, you can't be good at anything. Yeah. You've got to learn to fail and mess up and be willing to mess up at different things before you can start to really get the benefits out of it.
And speaking engagements, I never thought I'd say this, but I actually really enjoy speaking.
Yeah, I do as well.
If anybody asks me to speak, I'll do it.
Yeah, I'm not asked actually very often, but I am doing it for Mates and Borough Council again, and they have me back every 6 months to do the mastermind training.
Yeah.
So I really do enjoy that.
I still struggle. I don't mind things like this, and even online, I can talk to unlimited amount of people, but I do a few bits. I don't do much of the training myself now, the delivery, but I remember that in-person speaking for me still is not a great strength. You know, I've been forced to do it for a specific train that we do around men, mental health and money. And that's me sharing a bit of my story, and I have to do that one. But yeah, I still struggle with
that. Well, we plan to speak to Beth soon about doing a speaker school for Synergy Speaker School.
Yeah.
For our
definitely
members.
An art to it.
There is,
Confidence building and technique and everything. You don't just get up there and do it all of a sudden. You've
apparently
got to build
they
up to
say
it.
People fear public speaking more than they do death.
They do.
I'd heard that.
And clowns. Clowns are up there as well.
and you actually do see it. So when I do the networking training, I give people the opportunity to do a 60-second pitch like you do maybe in ABC, all the different ones that provide that as a part of networking, and you get two maybe stand up and volunteer.
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, one of them will be someone that I know that's actually just come along to meet the new businesses, so they stand up, and then that gives a newbie the confidence to give it a go. But I only give two people the opportunity in the training, and then you can see they just do not want to stand up and do it.
Well, it's weird, isn't it? I'm not a problem at the networking events and doing the small groups, not a problem at all. But to then stand up, I remember I had to do one. We was working with a large brand. I won't mention the names, but it was probably about 80 people. And it was just awful, absolutely awful. And I got through it and it was fine. And more recently, it was quite nice, actually. We went back to West Ham where I played football and had to do it again there. And that was even worse. That was with the youngsters, you know, the 18, 19, 20-year-old footballers. And you'd have thought that I would have found that easier having been in their shoes. But toughest audience ever, really hard.
Have you spoken in a school?
Yes, I have, actually.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, fairly recently. And when I had the event management business, I used to speak in front of people a lot. And I hadn't done it for years and years. And then after Zoe Cairns helped us out, she asked me to speak at ZC Live, and there were 350 people there. And I hadn't done that in a long time. That was tough.
What did you talk about there?
She asked me to tell my story. So actually it's a little bit easier because you're just chatting about your life, you know.
Yeah.
But also to draw some lessons out of it. So I did that. I only had 15 minutes, but felt like I was up there for an hour.
Yeah.
But it actually went really well. And when it had finished, I was like, that was okay, I can do that. Yeah. So now I don't care, I'm fine with it, you know.
Funny enough, she gave me one of my first opportunities as well, Zoe. Yeah. So she trained me how to do social media, and I remember her leaving and thinking, what do I do? But the fact that she gave me that training led me down the path of running Regis Social Media all them years ago.
Yeah.
So, I always say to everyone, I learned it all from Zoe.
From Zoe,
But she's gone on, and I mean, she prefers speaking to actually doing.
She loves speaking. Yeah. And she's really good at it.
Very engaging.
Imagine the more you do it, the better you get at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like anything, I guess,
Okay, so let's move on to you, Tracy. So tell us your story.
So for me, helping people has always been at the crux of my being. My background originally was working in an HR setting. I then was expecting my son, moved to Maidstone, and started working at my local hospital trust. And really, it was supposed to only be a stopgap, 23 years later. However, I loved it. The last 17 years was in a line management role. Very, very stressful environment, non-clinical, but very much patient-facing, and kind of troubleshooting, trying to help when things have gone wrong, line managing a team who are, you know, dealing with the public and the emotions, obviously, that you can imagine come with that, in challenging times. During those years, I was very lucky to be chosen as one of six people that were trained in auricular acupuncture. And we were about to set up clinics for staff. This was already offered to a couple of cohorts of cancer patients. And the idea being is, look, you know, talking about stress and managing symptoms of stress, auricular acupuncture absolutely can help with that.
I don't, have you ever had it? Acupuncture?
No.
Yes,
it's where they stick the needles in, isn't it?
Yeah. But
so what does it do then? I thought it was like a, you know, Chinese, Japanese type, is it, thing?
So this is, auricular acupuncture is a 5-point system.
Mm-hmm.
So you have 5 pins, we don't call them needles, 5 pins that go into specific points within the ear. They treat the organs of elimination, and 2 of them are very much about getting the body into that parasympathetic nervous system. And then if you think about the energies, if you
chakras, and
exactly. So those pins are left in place for 40 minutes. They can treat things like anxiety, depression. They were, within the NHS, very much helpful for patients going through, let's say, breast cancer treatment.
Sorry, I didn't think the NHS accommodated anything like that.
Oh, my goodness me, yes. Absolutely.
Oh, they do now?
Auricular acupuncture has been used in the NHS. I would say it's got to be coming up for about 28 years now.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah.
Can you go to your GP and ask for it? Or is it only within certain...
Within certain departments. And I don't think it's offered across the whole of the country.
No.
Well, for me not to know that they even offer it, you'd think that I would know.
So, you know, anyone that was going through either breast cancer or prostate cancer treatment, part of the treatment is like a hormonal therapy. And so from that, you can get very similar symptoms to women that are going through perimenopause and menopause, i.e., hot flushes, night sweats, anxiety-related symptoms. And this particular type of treatment can absolutely help with that. So obviously, putting on the hat of how many of our staff could actually benefit from having a treatment like this was where it came about, let's set up clinics for the staff. So obviously, it was a given that I was going to put myself forward to be trained in this. Normally, they're very much the clinical staff that they train, but they wanted 6 non-clinical members of staff. And you had to put in, some kind of information about you and why you felt you should be the one chosen to be trained. So I was very, very lucky to be one of the 6 that were originally trained. And then as time went on, further staff were trained so that, there was enough of us to go around and run clinics for staff. Unfortunately, then COVID hits. And obviously, as you can imagine, it had to be very much, shut down from the aspect of too much mixing. But I was able to treat the staff in my department because you had your bubbles.
Hmm.
So I was able to treat them, which is great. And obviously I was able to treat my family, within, that kind of aspect. And I've always loved the thought of getting into working with complementary therapies. I've tried things myself over the years. And in that very first lockdown, I had 50th birthday, and I thought, you're not getting any younger, and this really gave me the kick up the bum to go get yourself out there, retrain and do what you've always loved. So that's exactly what I did. Training could carry on during those lockdowns, schools were open, etc. And I started by, I've always looked at the very best courses that I could go for. I did not want online or the cheaper courses that you could do, because unfortunately there are courses that you can go out and do in an unregulated business.
Mm-hmm. How do you know that they're unregulated?
What I'm saying is that massage, which is obviously the basis of mm-hmm. what I do now, mm-hmm. unfortunately is unregulated.
Oh.
So, yes, you can go with professional bodies, and I would advise anyone who works in this profession to get themselves, signed up with a professional body like SMA or CTHA or CHP, who I'm with, because then the general public can kind of do their due diligence and see, right, okay, this person has been professionally aligned to this particular body, but the general public in general terms don't know that.
I was going to say, we're looking at actually vetting people before they become members, so we want to take ourselves apart from other networking groups in loads of different ways, and one of them is to vet people to make sure that they are, but I didn't know that. So that would be a perfect way to vet the people that provide what you do. Hypnotism, I assume, is the same thing.
I don't know.
I would think that's unregulated. A lot of skincare things, anaesthetics and that, none of that, a lot of that isn't regulated as well, is it?
I think most of the complementary things are not.
No, they're not regulated. So, you know, for us to be able to vet someone to say, yes, we know that they're going to provide the best service. It's the same as a lot of marketeers. I mean, you know, there are people that go to university and do a marketing degree now, but just because they haven't done that doesn't mean they're not a good marketer.
No, it's a bit like with coaching. Anybody can say they're a coach.
Mm.
And, you know, I went and got my qualifications because I wanted to have that. Mm. Nobody has ever asked me for it.
No.
Yeah. It's always good to ask who are you accredited by, or what groups are you a part of, or find out what institutions back you up.
But people don't.
No.
There's a chap actually who's starting an accreditation for networking groups.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he came to me at the Ashford exhibition. So that would be interesting to see if anyone actually joins it, and to see what you've got to provide to be a part of it.
Mm.
That would be interesting, because obviously you know, or most of us know, when we're going to networking, we know, you know, you hear little rumours and all that. You sort of know, don't you, on the back burner. But it'd be interesting to see what they, you know, if they did anything, wouldn't it, really?
What sort of standards they might want to put in place would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. I wonder how they do that. But it's the same as any authoritative body, isn't it, what they put in place? Sorry, Tracy, I've completely...
No. So, yeah, so going back to what I was saying, absolutely, I've always looked at, looking into where is the best possible place that I can train with, and that's exactly what I did. So I knew that I wanted to get into massage therapy, but I also knew that I wanted to be a massage therapist that was able to make a difference. And chronic pain was really an area that I was very much interested in. Obviously, as you can imagine, working within the NHS and the experiences of so many patients and staff that were dealing with pain on a daily basis. So I kind of, I literally spent, and I still am, training. And so one of the areas for me was oncology. So being able to help anyone who's going through their cancer journey. So again, looked for the best possible course that I could find. Found this lovely lady called Susan Findlay, who originally was from Canada, and her background was nursing. And I thought, yep, I'm going to train with her. And then I stumbled across the Jing Institutes that are based down in Brighton. And because Susan was running her oncology course, I'm like, Jing, what's Jing? So, oh my goodness me. I've become part of their family, part of the furniture.
What is it then?
So it's the Jing Institute of Complementary Therapy. So they run a degree level qualification. It's the only, it's the highest qualification in the UK for massage therapy. And the way that I work, so I'm an advanced clinical massage therapist, and I'm still working through my degree at the moment. But it's a fusion of Eastern and Western techniques, tried and tested, to get people out of chronic pain. So it's things like advanced myofascial release, trigger point therapy, acupressure, the use of hot stones. There's stretching and strengthening that comes as part of it. And the idea being is that in general terms, clients tend to kind of, they've gone through, the process of trying to get help for whatever their issue is. And it could be anything from frozen shoulder, sciatica type symptoms.
Tracy cured my tennis elbow.
Which wasn't tennis elbow, was it?
No. And that was the thing. We thought it was tennis elbow, but what Tracy was it? Found out what it was.
So with trigger point therapy, in general terms, where you are feeling the pain is not necessarily where the pain is stemming from. So you get a referral pain pattern. So with trigger points, you've got a tight band of muscle tissue, muscle fibres, and when you've got those active trigger points going on, you can get kind of referral. So for instance, we've got a bundle of scalene muscles. You've got three parts to the scalenes, and there is also a nerve bundle in the kind of mix there.
In the neck. Yeah.
That's where my problem was. It wasn't in my elbow at all.
Yeah. Wow.
So those muscles get tight.
Mm-hmm.
They then kind of squeeze against the brachial plexus nerve bundle. And what you then get is a referral pain pattern. So with the scalenes, you can get kind of pain that comes down the front of the chest. You can get it going down into the scapula through that kind of, into the back area. You can get it running down the arm, and you can get it coming down as much as the thumb and the first finger, which can cause a little bit of tingling going on because, you know, it's a nerve that's being squeezed. Not necessarily always, you know, that scenario. So when you're working with somebody, you're looking at things like, right, you know, how did this kind of come about for them? What was perhaps going on with them at the time? Range of motion tests, because the range of motion tests help you to determine, are the muscles that the person, you know, so for instance, Kathy thought she had tennis elbow.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do the range of motion tests, you'd kind of hope to see, right, okay, if that's the case, then that would show up whether actually it's true tennis elbow. But it wasn't, because the biggest factor that was coming up for her were range of motion tests that were showing that the neck muscles.
She's like a detective.
But well,
it's a bit of detective work.
Yeah. Funnily enough, when I went to her, so I lifted my arms. This is for the listeners, I lifted my arm and I tried. She asked me to lift it above my head, and when I tried to lift it, it wouldn't go above my shoulder. And I was like, "What?" I was quite shocked because it wasn't hurting. And I'm like, "What's going on?" She said, "Oh, don't worry, we'll sort that out by the end." By the end, I could lift. Yeah. I don't know if they're still working.
It was abduction of the glenohumeral humeral joint that I got you to do.
There you go.
And you've got one of the rotator cuff muscles in there that it could be an issue if somebody struggles with that movement. But also you've got something called the painful arc test, where you kind of like bring the arms out and, you know, you start off and it's like, yep, that feels okay. And then all of a sudden, doesn't feel too good, and then
that was me.
And then you get to, you know, almost full range of motion, and that pain, that sensation, then goes. So that kind of gives you a bit of
I'm scared of trying it now. I don't know.
But it was strange because I wasn't hurting, and it was just doing that sort of detective bit, and I just couldn't lift it, and I was like, "That's." I'm thinking, why can't I lift it? It was like she was doing a bit of hypnosis on me as well. Tim Box was the last one who did that to me. He said to me, try lifting your arm. And I'm like, I can't lift it. You hypnotise me. Oh, that's really interesting. So, I mean, tell me the different people that have come to you, the different types of pain. I think that's because that will relate to people, I think, more that are listening.
Yeah, of course. So those clients, patients that I have treated have come in, a higher proportion actually are shoulder-related issues.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that could be kind of they are struggling with certain ranges of motion. We've kind of using their arm in everyday stuff. So, like, you know, women that are struggling to do up their bra, or maybe it's like things, simple things like trying to brush your hair, and you get into certain movements and you've got pain or restriction going on across the shoulder and the arm. Also things like fibromyalgia. I have a number of clients who have fibromyalgia and have received great benefit from attending sessions. So to start with, they're agreeing to sign up with me for 6 weekly sessions, because that's how I work. It's called the Fixing 6 approach.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, part of that is taking a real detailed consultation with them. And I use something called the biopsychosocial model. So it's really kind of drilling down to find out what's going on for them when their pain first started. And this could be, you know, somebody who's suffering from fibromyalgia, or it could be somebody that's, you know, like Kathy, has got had pain kind of, you know.
Well, Tracy is currently working on my hip. So I had a hip replacement and got, although the surgery was fine, I got left with tendinopathy, so inflammation in the tendons, and the NHS kind of wrote me off, really. I went, sorry about that. And Tracy's started, what are we on, session 4, 5 tomorrow, I think?
Mm.
And already I can notice the difference. And when she's working, she goes, oh, yes, it's this and it's that, and I can feel this and I can feel that. I was like, how do you know that, you know? I think it's absolutely amazing, because how many people do walk around with chronic pain of some sort, having been told pain relief's all your chances are, and that's it, when actually it could be a solution that, you know, could really make a difference.
So do many people come to you when they haven't got any pain and they just say, oh, I just want a massage because I want a bit of an MOT?
So I would say that the majority of the clients that I have are coming to me for clinical massage.
Mm-hmm.
And once we've got through the, okay, we've got the pain now completely under control, they're then on a maintenance. So when they are on a maintenance, then it is just about maintaining all of the work that we've done through the detailed 6 sessions. Sometimes it's not as many as that, as 6. You know, there are clients that have had 4 sessions with me weekly, week after week, that are then, do you know what, the pain's not coming back. And so what we're doing is we're maintaining that. So a lot of the clients that I see are on a maintenance following on from the sessions that they've had with me on that weekly basis. I generally don't advertise relaxation massages anymore, because my time is taken up seeing those clients.
Even though they're lovely.
Well, you see, this is the thing. This is the thing about what I do. So the approach that I take, like I said, is like, you know, it's when I'm sitting with somebody, it's using this biopsychosocial model to really get to know that client and what's going on for them, because my approach is not no pain, no gain. I that's the way I've been trained, and that's why I chose Jing to do my training with, because a lot of what we have going on potentially has a stress anxiety element to it. So I'll give you a for instance. I'm someone that if stress, you know, comes about in my life, straight away it shows up in my shoulders. I start to get that feeling of stiffness, tightness. I get, you know, achy, kind of like across my trapezius muscles. That is purely because I've got, you know, stress has come about and it shows up in my body. So a high proportion of the clients that I see, when they start to open up to you, you kind of realise that there is a lot of stress going on for them. And so the way that I work is to work with not just what's physically going on for them, but to work with their nervous system. So let's say, you know, somebody comes to me and they've been living with sciatica for 6-8 months.
Mm.
Having then sat with them and talked to them and gone through the whole consultation, which is obviously going to include, you know, range of motion testing. It might include some orthopedic testing. But I might decide right now, you've told me, let's say, that you went through a divorce 6 months ago, and then you kind of think, okay, so what was going on? This is like drawing it back even further. What was going on for you at the time when this pain actually started coming about? Yes, they might be in a work environment where they're sitting for long periods of time, or it could be that they're standing for long periods of time, and, you know, the pain's showing up in the body. But when you start to kind of get talking to people, you kind of think, they were like, oh, yeah, I was going through this. Yes, I was going through my divorce. It was very, very stressful at work. We kind of had certain bodies that were coming in and doing big kind of, overhaul of how we were working. And it starts to get them thinking as well about their own stress levels. So I might decide for the first couple of sessions that actually I'm not going to go in and do that deep trigger point work, because what I want to do, first of all, is to focus on bringing their nervous system into that parasympathetic nervous system, getting the system to calm before I then go in and start doing any of that deeper work. Because right now I've seen that's the area of need.
Mm.
So we work through that, and that's why Kathy's saying it's all, you know, is also very relaxing, because absolutely the way that I work is, you know, clients will say to me, I fell asleep during that.
Yeah, she absolutely made me snore the other week.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Because the only part that really needs to be the interactive part is when I'm doing the trigger point work, because absolutely then I need to know, you know, I never want to have a client go beyond a 7 out of 10 on a pain score. That's why I say it's not about no pain, no gain. So they very much need to tell me if I go beyond a 7 when I'm working into those trigger points. And I also kind of need them to tell me when it releases, because when you start to get pressure in there, the muscle goes, okay, I give up, and it releases. And it lets that trigger point go. And sometimes you've got to work in there 2 or 3 times before you get that.
Can you feel that, though, when that happens?
Oh, gosh, absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Mm. Yeah, yeah. And sometimes you'll have a client that will just go, because they feel that relief as well. Mm. And so, yes, that part is very much interactive. So I will explain all of that before I even have somebody on the table.
Mm.
That you absolutely, I want you relaxing through this session. I want it to be as relaxing as possible for you.
Mm.
And that's why there's the use of the hot stones, because the hot stones, again, help those muscle fibers just to relax and to calm. That also makes life easier for me, because if I can get the muscles to relax, I can do that deeper work with very little effort. And if I can get in there and you know, release those trigger points, that person is going to feel much better afterwards. Now, I know that there's a lot of tools that are used out there now for, you know, massage. And yes, absolutely, they have a place. But if you are... Let's say I've got a client on the table and they're clenching their teeth while I'm working with them. And if they're clenching their teeth, what's their muscle doing? That muscle is pushing them back out. Doesn't want to be worked. It doesn't want to be. It's like, no, you know. So if I can get them to relax, then I can really get in and make the difference and do that deep work. And then anywhere where I've treated for trigger points, I'm then going to stretch.
Mm.
So that's where the stretching comes in. And then I will also give stretching exercises in between sessions, and those clients that do their exercises are the ones that have the quickest and better outcomes.
Mm.
And I'll hold my hands up. I've been that patient that has gone to physio, been given exercises, gone back each week, yeah, and I haven't done them. But
so have I.
I now know that if you do it, you are going to get the best outcome from that. So, yeah, but that's pretty much the way I work. I also bring Reiki into my treatments. I'm a Reiki master teacher. So Reiki definitely comes naturally within the sessions that I'm working. Sometimes I will purposefully mix a session. So, if, you know, I have clients that will book in with me and they say, you know, I only want a deep tissue massage and I want, you know, 45 minutes of massage and 15 minutes of Reiki and I absolutely, you know, include that.
I will sleep well after I've seen Tracy.
Yeah, I can imagine. Tracy, look, I've got to take a break now so that you can have a comfort break, and then we'll come back because there's more questions to ask, and it's been really interesting. So let me come back to you and we'll just take a break.
Hello? Can anybody hear me?
Advertising your business can sometimes feel like you're trapped down a well, waiting for someone to respond. Choosing to market your business with fuzzy logic, you won't just be heard, you'll be seen. We offer websites, social media and content creation packages that are fully bespoke to you and your business. And the best thing about it, we're affordable. So stop hiding and boost your digital presence using the power of fuzzy logic. Visit www.fuzzy.studio for more information.
Thank you. this hot afternoon, but to settle down and write you a line. I've been meaning to phone you, but from Minnesota, hell, it's been a very long time. You wear it well, a little old fashioned, but that's all right. Well, I suppose you're thinking, I bet he's sinking, or he wouldn't get in touch with me. I sure do want you to know that you wear it well. There ain't a lady in the land so fine, oh my. Remember them Facebook parties, your brother's karate, the all-day rock and roll show. Them homesick blues and the radical views have left a mark on you. You wear it well, a little ass. Time that I don't mind, but I ain't forgetting that you were once mine. But I blew it without even trying. Now I'm eating my heart out, trying to get a letter through. Sun goes low and you're home all alone. Think of me and try not to laugh, and I'll wear it well. I don't object if you call collect, 'cause I ain't forgetting that you were once mine. But I knew it without even trying. Now I'm eating my heart out, trying to get back to you.
IT headaches, slow computers, security worries, lost files. Sound familiar? We've got your back. As Kent's leading IT support partner, we keep your business running smoothly, securely, and stress-free. Call 0179 5342362 now and get your IT sorted.
Tired of business networking that feels like hard work? It shouldn't be a chore. It should be a chance to grow. Join the Synergy Business Community and connect with like-minded professionals right in your area. We provide the opportunities to boost your brand's visibility and growth without the stress. Stop wishing for better contacts. Start building them. Visit synergynetworkingevents.co.uk today or call us at 077-699-43756.
Okay, listeners, so we're back, and that song, I can't even remember what it was now. It's Rod Stewart. Anyone remember what it was? We've just listened to it. Oh, well, it was that good.
Good old Rod.
Oh, no, he is normally good, isn't he? So I just want to run through a few of the events before I go back to our guests again. So this evening we've got Whitstable at the beautiful Crescent Turner Hotel. Now, apparently the temperature out there today is 26 degrees, and the sunsets at this venue are absolutely unbelievable. You look across the bay. Have you ever been there?
Sorry, where's
Have you ever been to the Crescent Turner Hotel in Whitstable?
I don't think I have.
It's an unknown little gem. They have a teepee in the back garden where we held our Christmas party, and it is absolutely stunning there. It really is a gorgeous venue. Good views right across the bay. We network outside when we can, so this evening probably we'll be networking outside. So it's just one of those venues where it's, amazing. And the roast dinner there is lovely. I used to take Mum there all the time. We've got our walk around Moat Park this Friday, and they're always well attended. And Chris has got his own unique formula, so they're not like any other networking event you've been on. It's not where you sort of get stuck with a person. We move everyone along. And then on Monday the 13th, we're actually in Ashford at a community pub. It's owned by the Ashford community, and it's actually called the New Fox Inn. And we're there, and the landlord there does an amazing curry, and we all get a curry when we arrive, so you don't have to worry about your dinner or anything. And then on Tuesday, we're at Tunbridge Wells with Hazel Hall. So, all really good events coming up. And I just want to say as well about the event that, again, that's the next week on the 16th that I cannot attend. There's 8 speakers. And when you go to these events with speakers, you learn so much. And it is all of to help Mid Kent Mind. And it's basically talking about what's going to be happening, you know, going forward with them. Then on Friday and Saturday, Chris, Laura and I are actually up at the franchise show in London. So I don't know how many of you have, are planning to go up there. And then I just wanted to mention a couple of events that are happening in June. So I was talking about training with Maidstone Borough Council, and that's happening on the third Wednesday, the 3rd of June, from 10 until 12. We are doing training, and we're training people who've not networked before. And some people do come along who have networked, but mainly it's newbies. And we're basically giving them all the tips about networking, the different types of networking. So I mentioned all of the different ones in Kent. And I can tell you there's a lot. I think I list something like 30 different networking groups. And then on the 17th, we have our Summer Solstice Surrey, which is 5:30, and that's going to be at the beautiful Woodhurst Castle. So we're there as well, which is amazing. So we've got some fantastic venues. Two of our sponsors that I will actually mention as well, they're patrons, is the Arida Hotel, and we're there on the third Monday every month. So we're there on the 20th of this month. And all of the people in this room actually are members of Maidstone, so you'll be able to see them there. And also the fantastic Roe Hill Grange, which is our Dartford venue. They supply an absolutely amazing buffet for us, and the room's fantastic, and the spa is just amazing. I use the gym in the Arida, and that's amazing as well. So, that's it really from me. I now want to go back to my guests and just ask some questions. So, Kathy, I just want to ask you a question, which is if you're, looking at your business now, your business model, when you did the research before you did it, are there other people that do it or?
So there are lots of people that do the elements of what we do, but I haven't actually come across anyone that does the whole membership model, offering access to all of the different parts of it.
So what parts of it, what are the great parts about it, do you think?
So it's, I think the thing that makes it different, so a lot of people talk about an EAP, so an employee assistance program, and the research that we showed, they're very cheap, but people tend not to use them for all sorts of different reasons I won't go into now. But the reason we've set it up like it is so that businesses can get their risk assessment done for them, so they haven't got to worry about it. It's done within the membership.
Oh.
They have access to the portal for them and their teams, and it's confidential because a lot of people want to access those kind of things, and they benefit from the discounts that the businesses get. Depending on the level of their membership, they don't want their boss to know they're doing it. So it's that confidential aspect. All the business can pay for it, either which way. We're flexible on that. So the portal has got in it all sorts of things. So videos and documents and our what we call our reset library. So one of the clients that was a pilot client, her staff love the reset library. They're like little audios to listen to when you're stressed. And she's actually said to them, if you're feeling stressed in your working day, come and tell me you're going to reset. You take 10 minutes and go and have a listen.
Brilliant.
So it's those kind of things. And we're constantly adding to the content. They also get workshops included in their membership. So
So what are the workshops? Is there?
They'll be on all sorts of different aspects of mental health, anxiety, stress. We'll be like, Ryan will be coming on as a guest to talk about the stress that's caused by our finances and how he can help. So all sorts of different topics. And that's on a quarterly basis. We might do them more frequently than that. And then at the higher levels of membership, they can have bespoke workshops. So a business could say to us, we're really struggling with this. Could you do a workshop about that? So it's not just about there's a membership, just log in when you want and that's it. It's everything else that we offer within it. That means that a business is compliant. They know they've ticked the legal box and they're also giving their staff access to real practical tools and resources that are being developed all the time, as well as having access to the training and the coaches and stuff like that.
That's brilliant. I'll tell you what I think is the best thing about that is the compliance.
Well, yeah, because the thing is, I mean, Ryan and I were talking about this on the way here. You know, for me, I'm all about, I want people to have a, be resilient and strong and have a good mindset.
Mm.
But actually, from a business perspective, a lot of people go, this is a nice to have. I don't want it.
Mm.
But you've got to have it.
Mm.
So when you understand that, I was also telling him that the ISOs, the standards are changing in September, and they are including workplace stress and wellbeing in some of the ISO standards. So if you are a business that wants to tender, so if you're in construction or you want to tender to a public service or whatever that might be, and you have to have an ISO accreditation, you will have to do this stuff. Otherwise, you're going to lose it.
Wow.
So that's why we're looking at working with HR consultants and management consultants who work with the companies to make sure that they adhere to the regulations. Mm. So it's not a case of, well, it'd be nice to do this, but I don't want to.
Mm.
You kind of have to do it. And what we're hoping, you know, our whole intention with what we've created is to create something that is cost effective. It's easy to access. It ticks all the boxes. You haven't got to go looking for all the different bits.
Mm.
It's all there within a membership, all taken care of for you.
Wow. Okay, that's really good. Is that what you think is important with what Kath is offering?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's bringing it all together to make it easy for a company, so they haven't got to go and have, you know, lots of different things on their internal website or their intranet. It's kind of everything in one place. But definitely we're seeing a big change now with risk assessments and stress assessments and it becoming a need rather than nice to have. So, so important with what Kathy's doing, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I'm going to ask you now, Ryan. So I want to ask you, what is it about what you're offering that is vital for businesses, do you think?
Well, what we learned really over the last 4 years, the biggest challenge for us was trying to offer something to every employee at a business. Because even if you've got a small firm, everyone's at different income levels, different stages of life. There's different family situations. So that was the hardest thing for us. What we created off the back of that is something quite new, is the Finwell gym. So, you know, you might go to a physical gym for your physical health. We were trying to make it nice and easy. So online, your Finwell gym, you can now be a member of through your company, or the company would pay for that. And we've learned that as humans, we're at different stages. Some of us, there's still a massive stigma about finances and talking about money.
Mm.
We don't really want to talk about it. We don't want to put our hand up. We don't want to discuss it at all. So offering access to educational content via the Finwell Gym is kind of the first step to access content, whether it be videos, podcasts, articles, whatever it might be, in your own time and at your own pace, so that you can just build that knowledge, that understanding, that confidence. So that's kind of the first step.
And then, sorry, can I interrupt you then? So then when they're, would they know what things to access first on the platform?
Yeah, so there's an evaluation tool. So we've got two evaluation tools now. Three. We've got a risk assessment for the company that is specifically around financial wellbeing.
Mm-hmm.
We've then got a personality test that we've recently just launched. Did you enjoy it?
I did, yeah.
It's quite interesting.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't realise the psychology behind this, that you need to know why you make the decisions you make around money. And it's quite deep-rooted and goes back to our childhood without going there. So there's that evaluation tool. And then there's also what we call our power plan that really helps you to score yourself in the different areas of finances. So you know where you're falling down, what you can improve on, what your areas of focus might be, to make it crystal clear what your next steps might be. Because again, it can be a bit overwhelming and you don't know where to start. A lot of companies don't know where to start with this. A lot of individuals don't know where to start. So you know what they do? Nothing. They just bury their head in the sand and kind of just hope it all works out. Mm. So once they've done that evaluation tool, then they can choose what they might go on to.
And how would people get hold of you if they wanted to find out more about the service that you're offering that Finwell does?
Best way is just to go to the website, I think, is to go to finwell.training. That's the website now. So all the information is there. If you're on LinkedIn, just find me and connect with me. Or come to a Synergy event and hopefully I'll be there as well. A little plug there back for you.
He knows how to butter me up.
There you are.
So back to you, Kathy. So how would people get hold of you or how can they find the platform?
So through the website, betterminds betterbusiness.co.uk, on LinkedIn, I'm Kathy Heyman, and at a Synergy event.
They're all trying it now.
How much are we getting paid for this?
They're definitely going on Instagram.
Yeah.
So Tracy, you're a bit big then. I've just made you smaller.
Can you do that for my one as well?
So tell us how you help people.
So I work with clients that present with any kind of persistent pain that's been going on in their body. So that could be anything from I've got a stiff neck and it's been going on for 3 to 6 months. It could be frozen shoulder. It could be tennis elbow, golfer's elbow, low back pain, herniated disc, sciatica type pain, knee related issues. Really, there isn't anything that I can't work with unless I think it's a major red flag and that they need a little bit of assistance through the GP, etc. First of all,
okay. And I mean, with pain, there's so many different types of pain. It's just unbelievable, isn't it? Do you get people who come to you and say, "I've got this hurting in my leg, and that's hurting in my arm, and that's hurting in my back"? And
yes, absolutely. Yeah. And there is actually what I do when I see somebody is I get them to complete a body map. Mm-hmm. So I'll say to them, "Yes, okay, you're coming to me for, let's say, issues with your neck." And it's right-sided, I want you to put an X marks the spot on anywhere where you've got anything going on in the body. And one of the things that I often find is they might have something that's going on that's, let's say, the right side of the neck or the right shoulder. There might also be an issue going in with that right hip, the right knee. It builds a picture, which is why I get clients to fill out that body map, because it helps to get a full understanding of what's going on. And one of the things that I also find is that we deal with what's the most important need for them pain-wise or restriction-wise right now. And then another part of the body kind of suddenly starts to say, hold on, I need a little bit of assistance here. And that's quite normal.
I've experienced that.
Exactly.
So how would people get hold of you if they wanted to you to help them with their pain?
Okay, so email at me at info@balance-harmony.co.uk. WhatsApp me on 07946 490 292. I have a website, but it's very out of date and it's currently being worked on. So I'm not going to give that out at present. But okay. I'm on Balance Harmony Kent on Instagram and I'm on Facebook, Balance and Harmony Holistic Therapy Services, any one of those.
Okay, fantastic. Well done, Tracy. I want to ask you something because one of my friends, I've just come back from Egypt, and one of my friends we all had a massage. Right. We all asked for medium. She asked for hard and she was covered in bruises. I mean, absolutely huge bruises, not just small. I mean, the whole top of her leg, all of her back covered it. And it was a woman. It wasn't
she
a man.
Enjoyed it.
No, she said it was hurting while she was. And I said to her, why didn't you just say, can you change?
Yeah.
She literally was in pain. She had to like go for the softest one because we'd all booked in three. Sort of every, I think we had to wait 2 days for the next one. She just had to go for the really soft one. Why did she bruise and we didn't? I mean, I know she went for the hard one.
I mean, bruising is definitely a red flag. Yes, you can get redness that will come on the skin. It's called erythema, and that's quite normal when you're working with someone because it's the blood kind of coming towards the level of the skin. But bruising, that's not right. There should not be any bruising going on. I mean, if it is, was proper bruising.
It was proper bruising. It was proper. It was really, really bad. I mean, it was still there when we left and we had that massage done on the second day.
Oh, wow.
And that, it was still there.
That's more than erythema. That's not right.
Okay. So was that something wrong with her or something wrong with the person who did the massage?
I would say that the level of pressure that was used was clearly too much for her.
Right.
And if she was saying to you she was in pain, then, yeah.
Do you have to go softer with a woman than you would a man?
No. The there will be differences, like from the aspect of how muscular someone is. So let's say, for instance, I've got a client, male client, that is a runner or attends the gym, very muscular. Then yes, absolutely, you do need to go in for deeper pressure, because otherwise you're not going to make any real kind of impact. Because of the nature of the fact that they've got that stronger muscular build. So yes, you do have to make a decision based on how that person presents as to what level of pressure you use. But the way that I always set out, that kind of like expectation right at the very beginning is, when I'm working, I will never go beyond a 7 out of 10 on a pain score. And obviously that's very subjective person to person. So I need to kind of sometimes, you know, kind of give them that putting a hand on their arm and saying, right, imagine that's zero. And then I put some pressure in. Now, how would you score that? And I get them to kind of, you know, get that thought process going in. But yes, you know, the idea is to not put somebody into pain. That's a big no-no.
And the other thing I want to ask, because they brought up risk assessment, the other two guests over here, do you have to have a risk assessment?
So I carry out a full consultation with the person that I'm going to.
Which is like a risk assessment.
It is, absolutely that. So, you know, I'm looking at things like red flags. For instance, have they got some unrelenting pain going on, in their body, which is there even at night? That would be, right, yeah, you need to get that checked out. Bilateral pain. So, for instance, you know, not only have they got issues with pain that's going down one arm, they've also got issues with pain going down the other arm. That would be like, yeah, both limbs. Definitely that's a bit of a red flag. I would look at things like a previous cancer diagnosis and a new pain suddenly coming about.
What about emotion?
Oh, absolutely. Emotion plays a big factor into it as well, particularly when you're working with myofascial release, because we hold emotions within our fascia. And, you know, if you've got somebody with you that has perhaps alerted you to the fact that they've got trauma, you know, they've got past trauma, or they're in a very delicate state at the point that they're coming to you. I mean, don't get me wrong, a lot of the clients that come to see me, I often have to have a box of tissues handy, because they will, you know, open up
just
to you, tell you stuff, and then,
you
know, tears do come. So I do have to make a decision as to what's the best approach to take during that session. I've never been in a situation where I've said, actually, do you know what? No, I don't think we should even proceed with a session today. But if I had to make that judgment call, then I absolutely would.
Talking about people crying, like what we've been through, have you ever had people that have, come to you and the finance is just, totally, and you see them like break down, or is that not happened in your training?
Absolutely,
it has.
More so. I was going to say that I started with, we're all at different levels, so some people just want to access content in their own privacy, and that's the first kind of step. Then they may want to attend one of our kind of group workshops. Think of it like a group class at the gym. So that might be the next level for them, but they might not want to ask questions or get too involved, and that's absolutely fine in that session. And then what we had developed, because our clients asked us to, from the feedback from their employees, was one-to-one sessions. So that's where we offer them off the back of our group workshop, so they've got to meet some of our team first, and then if they want to, they can ask for a one-to-one session with that particular trainer or coach. And that's where, in my experience, you know, people open up a little bit more and talk about their personal situation. It's not the advice process. We're not going to sell any products or give financial advice. So it's very different and unique in that way. But I've seen all sorts, you know, quite interestingly, when I first started and I was testing the one-to-one sessions and how long should they be and what should they cover, had a lot of male employees that were really struggling. And I don't know whether it was because I was a male or my approach, but they would open up quite a lot. That's when I had to look at, you know, mental health first aid training as well. We're not counsellors. We have to be really clear what we are and what we're not. But we can effectively signpost at least where people might need to go, whether that's step change, if there's issues around debt, who are a fantastic free charity for people, or Money Helper or free government-based websites that might be able to help them, or maybe some other things that we're offering. But yeah, definitely, absolutely seen it all, you know. And I think the big thing that comes out of it, that it can absolutely take over your life. As I said before, money impacts us throughout our life and everyone's life. You can't get away from it. And just to know that there are options out there, you know, we talk a little bit about having a Finwell scale. So through the measurement tools and the evaluation and the risk assessment, you can see where you're at different elements of financial well-being. It's not all crisis. Some people might be at crisis and they need to be signposted to, you know, really reactive services like we was talking about EAPs. But some people might not be. They might just need the nudge in the right direction to seek more education and build their confidence. You know, there is a real range of this. It's not all about the negativity.
What's an EAP?
Employee Assistance Programme.
Oh, right.
So you might, that often they're attached to a private medical cover that an employer might offer. And it could be your EAP gives you 6 counselling sessions for free if you need it, or that kind of thing.
Yeah. But so how would you deal then with a solopreneur that came along? I mean, say I'd come along to you when, you know, everything happened in 2020, lost my business, was ill, right on the back of everything happening with my zones. You know, you could send me to Step Change, you know, you could, but you, if we're with a counsellor, not a counsellor, but with these people you have a one-to-one with, would you charge for that? How does that work?
Yeah, so with our one-to-ones, they're all paid for by the business. So at the moment, individuals don't pay for anything. We're looking through the Finwell Gym option to be able to offer that to solopreneurs and entrepreneurs as well, and to business owners just for themselves first to test it.
So pay for it through their own business?
It's all through the business, yeah. Okay. So employees in the last 4 years have never paid for anything. Their company pays. It's almost like become an employee benefit, you know, which has been used to attract talent or to retain talent. But I think it's a really important point that Kathy mentioned. EAPs play a vital role, okay? But what we're seeing is that it needs to be in place for that reactive crisis element. You know, if someone really needs access to something straight away, that's perfect if you can get them to engage in that resource or that intervention. But what we're seeing now is more forward-thinking organisations looking at the preventative and the proactive approach to not get people to that stage or let them get to that stage where they're in crisis. So we look at training, education, guidance, support, if people will put their hand up and be encouraged to access that benefit, it can prevent a lot of trauma, you know, and issues further down on, and a lot of money when it comes. It's a lot more expensive for a company to replace someone or to have them off sick than it is to try and offer these sorts of support mechanisms.
I mean, from a solopreneur's perspective, I'm thinking, you know, I think self-employed people tend to be bigger risk takers.
Yeah.
So, you know, they come up with an idea. I mean, I remember with the one that My Zones, I was working on holiday. I was writing out all these plans. I got different web designers on it, you know, and you're working on it and you're so excited about it, and then it all crashes down around you and it's just the last thing you're expecting to happen. And then some, you don't know what, I didn't know what to do.
No.
Well, you think the pressure, Kathy was talking about it, and this mind project so important because business owners, the pressure is all on us. You know, me personally, I don't mind, in my mental health and money talk, just to give it another plug, I talk about my own personal experience as a man, as a father, as a husband. And for business owners, you've got all of that. You've got all the work pressures and stresses, but then you've got all the family stuff that's coming along with it. And it's quite lonely as well. You know, if you're a business owner, if you haven't got a business partner, that's why the networking is so important. Yeah, it's not just about, for me, you know, getting leads or getting new clients. We've known each other for a long time and built really good relationships, and you need that to offset, you know, and to release that some of the pressures and stresses, and also
and those people around you that understand,
have been there before as well. Yeah,
know, I think I mentioned earlier, we've got some really good friends who I've known forever, but they've only ever had a job. They haven't got a clue. I don't even talk to them about it because there's no point. They don't get it. So
it would be like, why have you got yourself in that situation? Why don't you just go and get a job?
Yeah. Oh, I've had that many times. Just get a job.
Yeah. And also, there's normally 9 times out of 10, if you've got a good circle or network, someone that's been through something similar that you have, you know. And,
well, Kathy's the first one I've met who has.
Yeah.
Not many people.
I had a talk at Rookie CEO last week, and I started off telling a story as if I was telling it about someone else. And at the end of it, I said, actually, this story's about me. And Linda's, no, it was Chris, wasn't it?
It was Chris.
I thought you were talking about Linda.
Yeah.
It's such a similar story.
Well, there you go. And what comfort you get from knowing that someone else has trodden that path and been down that road and come out of it the other side. Yeah. And then you can pass that on and help, and you don't have to go through it all. You know, that's what's, again, for me, even more than getting new clients, is that relationship building and friendships that are going to help you in business. Because there's always someone that knows more and that can help you, and there's always someone that knows less that you can possibly help.
Absolutely.
So,
in regards to mental health, though, I mean, what I find, and I've read loads of self-help books and that, you probably find with the Reiki, is that, you know, I try not to think about what happened. I try more to think about where it's going, what I'm going to be doing, who I'm going to be helping. I mean, even in this, you know, since I've been doing this, which is 18 months, I've had people come up to me and say, oh, I wouldn't have had my daughter if it wasn't for you. You introduced me to my husband. And I'm like, wow. I've had so many people say that. And now I'm getting people just after 18 months come up to me and say, I've moved on so much. My first networking event was with you, and now they go to BNI and they've started and done talks, and you know, and you feel like you've given back in some way. It's not just about providing the event, it's about creating this.
Just to give you a bit of a plug as well, that the difference for me personally is that there's a lot that you could spend every day networking. You could find somewhere in your local town, in your county, go every day if you want. You could waste a lot of time as well. But I think it's really important to find your people and people that you can relate to, and also people that are not just going to get you there and facilitate a room. It'll also going to introduce you to people and think who could help you and who could you help. I'll keep going back to that. You know, many times the first thing you did as in the last meeting at Kings Hill, Linda, you know, oh, you've got to talk to so-and-so, they're from this company, they'll be great for you, and oh, could you then, you know, have a chat with that person, because I think you might be able to give them a little, you know, not, it's not business, it's not going to be money related, but it's how you could help them with something or other, because I've known you long enough and well enough that you've been through something that they need help with. And for me, that's the
well, Linda introduced us.
Did she?
Yeah, it was Linda that said,
well, there you go.
Need to speak to me.
Just forget after all, she introduced me for everyone. And you start to, once you've been doing it long enough, you can start to trace back, though, well, where did that relationship start? How did that, and it was through synergy or through a person that, you know. And the other thing is just, it's not just who you're going to meet in the room. I think that came up in the last one at King's Hill. Are these people going to be my clients? No, not necessarily. But it's if they like you and want to spend time with you and want to help you, they'll know, they'll have had all of their life experiences and all their relationships that they might think, you know, I could make an interest.
I saw a post from Phil Thorne the other day, and he came and tried our networking for the first time with Best Business Events in Ashford, the big expo. And he met someone when he was, a chap called Lee, who funnily enough comes to our Canterbury events, but didn't meet there, met at Ashford because Best Business Events asked us to do that. And he did a post saying that met them through Synergy and has recommended someone to him. And he said Lee bit his hand off when he recommended this person. And strangely enough, if I'd known Lee was looking for that sort of person, I had someone I could definitely have introduced him to, but I didn't know. So it's amazing that you don't know everything that people want, but the people they meet at your events, just it's just that conversation, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's why I say it's so important not to do a pitch. It's more important to get to know someone.
And yeah, and it's even more than the what business you like. It's the person, isn't it? Like if someone says to you, "Oh, I've got this problem," do you know? Oh, go and speak to John. He'll look after you. Or go and speak to Sue or Cheryl, whatever it might be.
Mm.
It's just that. It doesn't matter what their company is or how big it. You know, it's that personal recommendation of having known them long enough to go, yeah, they'll look after you. You know, just trust me on it. They've got your best interest at heart. They'll sort you out.
The other person I spoke to today was Sue from Adkins, and she said she absolutely loved the event. It was great that she met a friend from Kier there, but her friend is actually retiring.
Yes.
Janet's retiring at the end of this month, isn't she?
Yeah.
And she said, I'm going to miss her so much at networking events because she's my go-to person.
Yeah.
So I think you have that, don't you? You have someone that you can go up to and just feel comfy straight away, and then you ease into the rest of the networking.
Yeah. You're absolutely right, though. It is about finding your people, because I've, you know, tried a lot of networking, and I've gone to ones and I'm never coming back here again.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah.
I did it for...
You just know.
I did it for years, Kathy. You know, not certain very early ones that I used to go to, and I just keep going back because I thought, well, this is it. This is what it's meant to be like. And then it's only when you go to other ones and it doesn't feel like networking. I think we had that with the King's Hill Business Partnership. Just more relationship building. And you've got the fundamental is, have I enjoyed my time here? If you're not enjoying your time at any event, life is just too short.
Seven Oaks Chamber is like that, isn't it? I absolutely loved going to Seven Oaks Chamber. I mean, you know, it's just like I really missed them when I had to stop going.
Yeah.
And I still miss them. I mean, that's amazing. I haven't been going for 18 months.
Yeah.
And I miss all the people there, although some of them are starting to come to King's Hill now.
Yeah.
So it's really nice to have those relationships back again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't talked to them all. That's why I launched King's Hill, just so I could meet everyone I was missing.
No, that's it. No, they become important people in your lives, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing is I think that businesses grow in different directions. We're finding with Synergy that I think we are going to be growing in a different direction. And we've had quite a few people saying to us they want us to do focused events. So when we first launched, the idea was we were going to do a construction event, a wellbeing event. We were going to do one each week in Maidstone, a creatives event. That was the plan. But then we weren't getting enough people to those events. So then we just said, oh, let's just pile everyone into a room.
Yeah.
But now it's starting, funny enough, to go back that way.
You have to start with the general.
Yeah.
And then go to the more, you know, we were talking about it on the way here, wasn't we, Kathy, that... Mm. You know, you get little clusters, don't you, of members that have got the same client in mind, or that they solve the problem for the same sort of person. So then they can get together and start to invite their, you know, ideal client in the local area. And we're definitely looking at that at the moment.
Janet this morning from Kier said to me, Linda, you really need to do construction. I said, well, that's weird, because I've had someone from KCC ask me to do construction. So I'm getting people come to me and say, I can help you do this. And I'm like, well, okay.
So if you were going to do an event where it's construction-based, does that mean we can't go?
No, you can, yeah. Right. Because you're serving the construction industry.
Yeah, that's what... The construction industry is one of my sort of targets, because they have the highest rate of suicide in the construction industry.
Do they really? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. We do a lot of work in construction as well. We've learnt that there's unique challenges, as Kathy said there, but not just the problems, the way you solve them is unique as well. Mm. We've learned as well, the online can work to a certain degree, but with what we do personally, we have to get in front of them.
People,
we have to get out onto site. We've had one of our guys, John, that's just finished a three-day roadshow, if you want to call it that, where he visited three sites per day, so nine over the 3 days. Getting in front of people, you know, it's just that type of industry where you have to do that. People are so busy and getting on with the job, they're not going to have time to take an hour out to sort of go online.
And they wouldn't relate to it anyway. No. They're the sort of people, but it's got to be in person, has it, with those sort of people. But for me, I mean, it's great that I've had people come up and say, look, we're looking for this and we want you to do it.
Yeah.
Which is sort of what's been happening since we launched. Yeah. Which is,
well, you've got the right model, and I think you can try these things yourself. Now, we tried a few different things with the King's Hill Business Partnership, but it's better to add to the model that's already working. You know, that's why we want to work together with Cafe to bring the HR consultants and HR managers and specialists, because if they all come to the same area, they can build their own little network. That's another, you know, lonely position if you're a HR specialist.
It is, there's so many,
predominantly on your own or within a little team, so we can facilitate that little community for you to bounce off. It's not competition, it's people to bounce off and ask for ideas about.
It's like business services, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because you said that, why don't I create a group that's HR, financial and wellness all in one?
Yeah. Well, that's what we're seeing now. So Cathy's got the perfect example with her platform and website, that it offers the whole, you know, all the different elements of that. So now we're going to be working together to offer ours via that service. But at the end of it, really, is the same client. It's the HR manager, it's the business owner that will be using that. Whether they get it through Cathy's site or come to us and they just want our bit, it's not a problem, whatever they want. But we can facilitate the same conversations in our local area and bring them together in the same place, really. Otherwise, it's, where do you find all these things?
Exactly. Well, thank you so much, everyone. It's been an amazing show. I've learned a lot. And hopefully you have off each other. It's good to see that introduction has worked and you're all going to be working together. And it's odd that you know... It's definitely a bit of synergy going on in this room, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
ba-boom.
When Tracy said to me, oh, well, I'm going on Linda's radio show, I'm going on the 8th of April, I was like, so am I.
I know, that was so strange, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's the matchmaker in you, Linda.
I know, I can't help it.
I don't even think you knew that I knew Cathy.
No, I didn't know. No. The whole idea was to introduce you. It's amazing the introductions that happen in this radio show. Simon Rosemeyer, great introduction for him.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's lots of people in here. You see the business going on actually between the three people in the room, which is what it's all about.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Brilliant. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you for listening to all of our listeners.
Yeah,
and anyone who listens again, you know that the show is actually broadcast live now, but it's also available for listening again on our website because the lovely Matthew White puts up there for us every week. So thanks very much, everyone. Have a fantastic week in business, and I will see you soon. Take care. Bye. We'll